Hey guys, welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. We've got a few more minutes here with Mr. Coppins, and then we've got to go to another break. But in the few minutes before the next break, I just wanted to ask, someone just raised a good question back at the office. Did he find or profess to find any carvings on the wall itself? Could it be that, you know, the artifacts were planted there? Or, because certainly carvings on the wall would indicate that they had been there since, you know, ancient times. I would buttress that claim. Do you know if there were any wall carvings?
Off the top of my head, I don't think there were inscriptions on the wall inside. What there were, when Russell contacted the landowner in 1982, the landowner actually said that Burroughs wasn't the first person to come to him with a story of a cave being on his land, and he said that around 1840, the then landowners, a family had moved to that location from, I think it was Kentucky, and the new landowner said that they had found a cave. And they'd also found breastplates, helmets, and various other things, which were made of what they said was gold and silver. And the story of these people finding such a thing in around 1840 obviously was handed down from landowner to landowner. And when Burroughs came to the landowner in 1982, he wasn't surprised to hear that story. So there is some confirmation that Burroughs Cave was part of a larger tradition in that area, if you want.
Is this area near a major river? Because I know that this is what did go on when the explorers came over here, that they would, you know, just simply paddle up river and establish, yeah, you know, various communities.
Yeah, we obviously don't know the precise location, but What was always said was that it was in what's now known as Marion County, so Marion County in southern Illinois.
So he obviously had permission from the owner. The owner didn't have any qualms with him going down and taking things out of the cave?
From my understanding is no. Just before the break, you know, Burroughs removed at least 115 and probably close to 500 artifacts from that cave. If they were fakes, you would think that a man who was trying to prove something, he would have not gone for quantity, but he would have gone for quality. And everything what these people were saying, all the experts were saying was, hey, this is so badly done, this doesn't look anything like an Egyptian, you know, an ancient Egyptian inscription. And when the universities were approached early on, the feedback of these professors was, what you've just sent me is so obviously fake because they do not resemble anything from what I've seen in ancient Egypt. And, you know, I can tell you that I've gone to ancient Egypt and what you showed me is so bad it doesn't resemble it. Whereas you would think that an ancient Egyptian in exile who's confronted with the fact that a member, or let's say a prince, or, you know, I wouldn't go as far as a pharaoh, but a prince has died, as you would expect on such voyages, that some people die if only from, you know, encounters with the inhabitants or from disease or from whatever, that when you want to bury them, you want to bury them in your local, your original tradition, your traditional belief, and you do not have the time, you do not have the means, and quite often you work with rock or material, which isn't something even an expert in ancient Egypt.
Right, it's not like the actual artists that were employed by the pharaohs came over here and did this. So, yeah, I mean, that claim doesn't really say anything. Okay, there's that short break. Stick with us, folks. Be right back.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code Club Radio when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to safecastleroyal.com. That's safecastleroyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Got our guest Philip Coppins talking about Burroughs Cave. You know, in case anybody thinks that this is far-fetched, you know, no, the Egyptians didn't come over here. You know, this is a bias that's been instilled in us from the time that we first entered kindergarten. But the truth is, it's a whole lot of bunk. You know, who was it? There was a young kid, like 13 years old or something, from England that single-handedly circumnavigated the Atlantic a few years ago. And, of course, everybody knows about Thor Heyerdahl and his journeys on a raft, a small little raft, for crying out loud. Or was it a reed raft that he made? Was able to cross. He's crossed both the Atlantic and the Pacific. So, you know, you don't need high-tech equipment. This is the lie they want you to believe. The truth is, it's very easy. You don't even have to be an expert navigator, as a matter of fact, to cross the Atlantic or the Pacific to reach the Americas. There's natural trade winds that will just carry you there.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, there's some basic observations there to be added to that. One of them is, when you go to 2000 BC, and this is when in Europe you've got, you know, megaliths being built from the Orkneys to the south of Europe. All of these megaliths are largely based on what is called the Atlantic shore, because that's largely because they were built where the Atlantic touches Europe. And at the time, countries like Britain, Ireland, even France, were so covered in trees and forests and woods that it's known that all of these people used the shores and boats to travel. Stones like, you know, the stones which were used in Stonehenge, even though it was shorter over land, were transported by boats over rivers and a bit of the sea. Now, there's one very basic thing which some of the people like Fred Ridholm sometimes quote me for, which is that in Europe, the Bronze Age happens. And it's known that in the Bronze Age, obviously, large amounts of bronze were used. And this was what typified the Bronze Age, the use of bronze. And the Bronze Age happens in Europe. And even though there is some bronze in Europe, it's known that the Bronze Age required and consumed more bronze, copper, than copper being the main ingredient of bronze, than was present and that is known to have been mined. Now, that's one side of the debate. The other thing is that the copper mines in Illinois, Michigan, and all of those areas, largely right. The Great Lake audience, North America, we know that a lot of copper there has been mined. But we also know that, as far as archaeologists are able to tell us, the Native American population, whether they're Indian, Mexican, or further down to Peru, did not use this copper and definitely wouldn't have used as much copper as has been mined in Michigan and surrounding areas. So
literally hundreds, if not thousands of, I forget the figure now, but I think it's thousands, yeah, thousands of tons.
It's more. Again, like you, I don't have the figure handy, but it's hundreds of thousands of tons of
yeah, it was a very large number. I know that.
Yeah. So you've got two problems. One continent whereby we know copper was used, but we do not know where it came from. And another continent where we know that copper was mined, but we do not know where it goes to. This at a time when everybody in Europe is moving about on boats. Yet, the logical conclusion archaeologists and historians are trying to tell us is that the two are completely unrelated, and that it would be illogical to make a logical connection.
Right. But, that's a very good point you brought out. I mean, that removal of the copper. Copper was almost unheard of in Native American cultures. They really had no use for it. They didn't do a whole heck of a lot. They did a few little, pieces of art with it, but it wasn't in big demand. They, they didn't use it much at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yet, and the Europeans, of course, used it on a grand scale, the Bronze Age.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. It became... It was seen in Europe as the first industrial revolution, really, after farming became introduced. What we have today, whereby we've got televisions and most of our environment is manufactured by alloys and various other things, the first that started with the Bronze Age.
Yeah. And, we see wealth of evidence of an Egyptian presence elsewhere in the Americas. So, again, to say that it's been found in this cave in Illinois, it's not so unusual. In fact, there's many. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, as you, I think, were going to say, there's been many similar discoveries. And early on, Burroughs and Ridholm were trying to push the Burroughs Cave is saying, okay, we know this is a very bizarre claim we make, but, there's the Michigan copper plate, there is this, there is that. So really what we're saying is all of these things which are out there, the Burroughs Cave is just one further aspect of this larger body of evidence. And even though that was true for the other ones, the other experts, they said, well, yours is different because the other ones are relatively small scale and doesn't involve human remains. And the archaeologists and the skeptics obviously said, well, there's no definitive proof that the other ones are genuine, and yours therefore isn't genuine as well. You've just, you know, given you've added your discovery to a list of hardly credible data, so you can't win.
I'm looking at the figure here. I just found it. They estimate 20 million tons of copper removed from the in ancient times.
Yeah.
From the and you know, Barry Fell, we mentioned him earlier. He's a now deceased. For those that don't know, he was a professor at he was actually an oceanography professor at Harvard. But you know, kind of like Chomsky, his field of study is language, linguistics, but he's more known for his political commentaries. Well, Barry Fell, he taught oceanography, but he's more known for his epigraphic work, you know, studying ancient scripts. Anyway, he did some work in Peterborough, up over the border into Canada. There's a huge stone, as I'm sure you know, Philip. There's a stone there that has all kinds of ancient carvings, and some of them are of more recent origin. You know, some of the local Native Americans had carved on there as well. But going back even further, probably, he says, to, you know, the time of the maybe 1500, 2000 BC, the time of the Bronze Age. Scripts that are translatable, and there's actually some carvings of ships that are also seen in parts of Europe, you know, very similar type design of ships. And why would ships be carved so far inland in the first place? But he argues that there was this big trade route that was going on, and he even translated Woden Ithi was the name of the ship captain who had come over here for the specific purpose of trading copper. So we have confirmation of that.
Yeah, I mean, again, when we look at things like the Orkneys, for example, when you look at the megalithic civilization, you find, as you do today, you know, why are there so many hotels in Las Vegas, and why are there fewer hotels, you know, in Atlanta, Georgia? It's largely because we know what Las Vegas is. Now, we know that in megalithic times, large concentration of megaliths meant that these people had time to build these things, because it meant that part of the labor force was cared for by other, you know, by other people. They were either doing farming very well, or they were living off trade or something. Now, when you look at the Orkneys, they are at the very northern top of Britain, and they largely form the northern bit of the megalithic civilization in Europe. And it's an outpost. It's, you know, it's windy all the time. Their antennas today are literally, television antennas are literally covered inside the roofs of the homes, because otherwise they would blow away. It's inhospitable. And even though it was less hospitable in megalithic times, it's literally not in the middle of anything. However, it is in the middle of something, and anybody of the local population will tell you this, for transoceanic travel to America, very, you know, in the 16th, 17th, 18th, if not even 19th century, the Orkneys were often used as staging posts to cross the Atlantic, because it was a very short distance to cross it. And you kind of like have to ponder, well, might that explain why Orkney was a rich megalithic civilization? Because was it perhaps the first point whereby the trade from America came into Europe and got, you know, progressed further down the coastlines and the other way around in the other direction? So it's one of these things which bears, again, when you take away the dogma and you accept that there's something there, you get more and more logical scenarios being developed as to the possibility that something might be going on. Just a quick addition to Barry Fell. Barry Fell was sought for his opinion in 1986, but without actually consulting or looking at anything, he straightforwardly said, this is all a fraud. And then
the whole Burroughs Cave thing, you mean? Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. We'll pick up from there when we get back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Joined by Philip Coppins today, talking about diffusionism, specifically about the Burroughs Cave. Yeah, finish up your thought on Barry Fell, his opinion on the cave, and then I want to go. We got a caller waiting on the line here, but yeah, finish up that thought.
Well, they approached Barry Fell in 1986, and Fell at that moment in time said that it was fake and he didn't, you know, need to see anything more. And then Fred Rithol made contact with some of Fell's entourage, and largely, you know, he kind of said, "Well, isn't Fell doing what Fell has always accused the establishment of doing, which is dismissing things out of hand without looking at them?" And you know, his associates largely said, "Yes, unfortunately, that's what's happening there." There was a quick follow-up in 1987 when they once again tried to approach Fell. And he zoomed in on one artifact, of which he said that whoever made this had had made, you know, some errors, and that what pretended to be Phoenician was actually not Phoenician at all. But that's where it all left, or was left at.
Interesting. Yeah, that kind of does throw a wrench in the work. I mean, Fell is not one to easily write stuff off, you know, and of course he's a major advocate of the early Europeans having been here long before Columbus. That kind of does put a little wrench in the works. But then again, at the time he said that, that was before a lot of the discoveries had been made, though, right? A lot of the stuff hadn't yet been brought out of there, right?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. When you read, like, The Mystery Cave of Many Faces, which is the first account. I won't read the page to you, but in short, what it's saying is that Fell was saying, well, this is all fake, but if you want me to do a more detailed study, I will be able to do so, but you need to promise me that I will be allowed to publish it. And at the time, remember 1987, nothing had been published. Everything was done behind the scenes. And Burroughs did not want to give this permission. And at that moment in time, Fell kind of like said, well, I'll stick with my original opinion then, which is that it's all fake. So it kind of like offers an insight, I think, that Fell, how should I put this, was willing to do something in return for getting his name attached to it. And when you look at a lot of these things, a lot of these people were driven by, if we're allowed to do this, then we will say this. So in short, I think Fell, as much as he tried to help diffusionism, I think he still was a man of the academical side, and he used academical techniques in diffusionism to carve out a name for himself, which he obviously did in epigraphy much more so than ever he did in oceanography.
Right. Yeah, he's more well known. Again, like Chomsky, he's more well known in the poli-sci community than in the linguistics community. Anyway, let's go to our caller. We've got Ron in Michigan. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Hello.
Hey, you live up near the copper mines we're talking about?
Yes, I've rock-hounded around them quite a bit. Charlie and Philip, about 5 years ago, I was on a dig on they bulldozed around a ventilation shaft on one of the existing copper mines, and I and a couple other rock hounds were in there just after they bulldozed, and one of the other guys found a, looked like a child's dagger you would make for a child. It was only about 5 or 6 inches long, had Celtic inscription on the hilt, had a square blade with a broken tip. And I thought it was a child's plaything at first. I looked at it, and I looked in the books, and it was a Bronze Age cloak pin, what they used to fasten their cloaks together.
Wow.
Yep, I saw a guy find it, And there was old diggings right there, audits going into the hillside, maybe 15, 20 feet that had been worked on by the copper culture or whoever had done it,
Well, over here in New England, they've actually found axe heads with Celtic insignias and inscriptions, or, they found Ogham script. They've got stone underground chambers that they found that closely resemble stuff in Northern Ireland, and New England's loaded with stuff like that. I mean, there's no question the evidence of this is we've got dolmens, for crying out loud. The Native Americans didn't build dolmens, and they even admit they don't lay claim to them. They said, we don't know. That was here long before we came into the area. And
What did you say, dolmens?
Yeah, there's structures that are common all over Europe and the Northeast, too. They're all the way down into Pennsylvania. They're large boulders suspended on three or four small pedestal stones.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got some in Michigan. I've seen pictures.
I haven't seen any, but I wouldn't doubt they might be here. I've examined, the climate of that age, and at that time, the Great Lakes were 300 feet lower than they were right now. It was about 10 degrees warmer Fahrenheit, and there was actually in southern Michigan here there was javelinas, antelope, cactus. It was a completely different climate.
Definitely.
They could have got across very easily, and I think they did. So it was much warmer.
Oh, we got to go to break. You want to hold with us, Ron, after the break?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Stick around. Okay, folks, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team in their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Hey, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got Philip Coppins as our guest, and then we got Ron from Michigan. Yeah, Philip, did you have any comments on any of this? You know, it's right along lines with what we've been discussing, huh? Evidence of it's actually all over the place. You know, there's so many reports of finds like this that have turned up over the years.
Yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. It's you know, just fits right into the picture. And the one thing I would say is when you made a comment about that when the Indians say, well, this has got nothing to do with us, even though that's what the Indians say, the archaeologists say, no, this is them. You know, they've just forgotten that they've made this in the past.
No, please. But, you know, hey, look, okay, let's humor them. All right, the Indians made it. But they got the idea from others who came over here who made such structures over in Europe. How do you – it's like the pyramids, you know? You got pyramids in China. You got pyramids in
Peru.
Was it Corsica in Peru and Mexico? Right, Egypt. I mean, they're all over the place. Every continent has them.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to believe that they're all independently. The island of Java has them, for crying out loud. Anyway, Ron, so you must have a pretty interesting collection of stuff. How do you collect artifacts as well as minerals? Or?
I haven't found that many. No, mostly. Copper and silver specimens and things like that. But
oh, cool. So you've got some, like, native copper pieces?
Oh, yeah.
In the rough? Hey,
yeah.
uh, email me at truthhurtsradio@aol.com. Maybe we can make some trades. I've been collecting stuff
been
like that for years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I've got some ancient artifacts and meteorites, fossils, you name it. I started out with minerals, and then I branched off into other into other stuff. But, drop me an email sometime. Hertz, of course, is spelled H-E-R-T-Z.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think the bottom line on all this is there's a lot of hidden evidence in the Americas of, you know, prior exploration. But, you know, through Columbus, the Pope has a claim on the Americas, and I think they want to cover it up concerning that. That's the primary reason all this, a lot of this other evidence is swept underneath the rug. So.
Right.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. You know, why not at least have an open mind to the possibility? They're acting like it's not even possible that the ancients could have gotten here. And to me, that's just it's disgusting. It's laughable. It's so ridiculous. Of course they had the ability. Why wouldn't they have?
Well, I think there's the Bushmen type Negroid people have moved from Africa all the way across the sub-Indian Ocean to the South Pacific, and, you know, their genes are a tenth of the Hawaiian people, you know.
Mm.
And they did this, you know, 50,000 years ago, you know, by boat.
Yeah, in ancient times, the blacks of Ghana were actually the masters of the sea. They had made their presence known all over the place. In fact, that's why you have those giant Negroid stone heads that have been found, about a dozen of them to date, weighing several tons each in Mexico, the ancient Olmecs.
Olmec culture, yeah.
Right, right. To my amazement, one of my history textbooks in college actually, you know, showed some pictures of those and actually admitted, they said, this, you know, these artifacts and others like them have led many to believe that the Africans had made it over here in ancient times, long before Columbus, and this certainly seems to lend support to that idea. They didn't come out and say it happened, but for them to even admit that it's a possibility actually amazed me. Of course, you know, most history books don't do that, but that particular one, it was a world civilizations course, history of world civilizations, and so I was impressed. You know, some of them on occasion do make such admissions, but again, Philip, it's disgusting, isn't it, that, you know, this is denied. Well, here they are, like you said, they will admit that the Norse had established communities up in Newfoundland. They can't deny that. They dug up a whole series of small little dwellings and, you know, a whole town, basically. But yet, to this day, they don't refer to them as the discoverers of America. It's still Columbus.
Yeah, and it ties back, I think, with, I mean, when you ask why, I think there are two aspects. One of them is the paradigm, you know, they don't want to accept the current paradigm. But things like, I once heard a story about how parts of Manhattan, when the Dutch ruled New York and it was called New Amsterdam, so large parts of Manhattan off to, I think, Russian emigres or something, and that most of the Wall Street area was actually where these Russians had laid claim, had their possessions. And at one point, a few years afterwards, something happened, and that all of their possessions were taken away from them. But the point, in fact, was that if they'd wanted to, you know, their descendants 4 or 5 centuries onwards could have made a claim and say, look, you know, we own parts of Wall Street. And it's one of these things, I think, as well, that they think, oh, God, if we change something, what will this mean for this and what will this mean for that? And there's a very bizarre argument in archaeology which says that if we talk about diffusionism of people traveling from one continent to another, then we are somehow irrespectful of the local traditions, and we do not believe that the Indians in America or, you know, some other group somewhere else were able to do certain things which we find on their land. And I just find it bizarre that, you know, you then kind of like say, well, okay, but by doing so, you're actually discrediting and belittling other civilizations, you know, Phoenician or whatever, or Egyptian or Ptolemies or whatever, by saying that they were only ever able to live in the country they lived in and never were able to sail across the ocean. So they're using one argument, but they're only using one side of the argument, and it's always preserving the paradigm. And it's a very unfortunate thing that academics have lost this sense of exploration and this sense of discovery. All the archaeology...
And, well, you know, that's fine. If they want to lose it themselves, go ahead, lose it. Have fun. But the way that they suppress others is what's so disgusting. They want to hem you in and prevent you from advancing and making new discoveries. They do this in every field of science. Those who listen to the show know I talk about all kinds of different topics. And this is the case across the board with every field of study. They all do it. It's like truth has been established. You can't go beyond these boundaries. I mean, it's really pathetic. And yet they'll tell you that you've got to have their stamp of approval if you want to have any legitimacy, if you publish a book, you've got to have their endorsement. But they're the ones that are hemming people in.
Yeah, it's unfortunately the way 21st society has become, specifically in the Western way. To some extent...
You know what, I didn't want to... One second, I didn't want to keep Ron hanging there.
Okay.
Ron, did you have any more comments or questions or any unusual finds?
No. I just wanted to make it very clear that the Earth has been a lot warmer at different periods of time. The seas have been a lot calmer, and it's been a lot easier to get across than it is now.
Well, in the Sahara, too, they found, carvings of animals grazing in the fields. And,
right,
of course, now it's nothing
whatever,
but...
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. So, definitely different than in the past. So have you ever gone down into any of the mines yourself, these ancient mines?
They're very shallow. Most of them that I've found have been very shallow. They might pound into the rock wall 15, 20 feet. I've never seen that extensive of diggings into the solid rock. Some of the pits up there are 30 or 40 foot deep. But it was pretty primitive technology. Stone axes, they would maybe put a 100-pound stone on a line and hang it from a tree or a scaffolding and swing that against the wall for a battering ram to go into the cliffs or whatever to knock out copper. The technology was not very advanced.
I understand that a lot of the axe heads and so forth, hand picks, I should say, that they found. Closely match, stuff that was in use at the time over in Europe. So, again, there's even
right,
more proof.
Right, right. The composition of the copper has been found all the way into Asia, with the Michigan copper has a high specific silver content, and, artifacts have been found of this stuff all over the world, So that's what I've heard, read, so.
Right.
Possibly.
All right,
pardon? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, appreciate your call. Appreciate your input. It's
thank you very much,
Have
a good day, guys.
Okay, thank you. Call me
again. Truth Hurts at what, Charlie? What was
Truth
your
Hurts.
Say again?
It's the email address, truthhurtsradio@aol.com.
Okay, Truth and Hurts Radio.
Hurts, yeah, and it's spelled H-E-R-T-Z.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, look forward to hearing from you. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear from people right up there, that have actually seen some of these things and... So there you go. More confirmation of artifacts found in the area showing that, the Europeans were there. Anyway, coming back to academic suppression, we were talking, it is sad, but this is what we see in every field of study. I've had alternative scientists on in various fields, cosmology. You must believe that the dominant force in the universe is gravity. And if you don't, then you're a heretic. And, but there's other forces operating in the universe just as and even more powerful than gravity. But, of course, they don't want to admit that because they got to rewrite the textbooks, admit that they were wrong. And so there we are. We're in a position of stagnation to a large extent. It's amazing that we've made so much progress that we have with technology, isn't it, when you see all the suppression that goes on.
Yeah, but, the technology isn't really science, is it? All these inventors who invent stuff, they're quite often not scientists. They literally are inventors. And that thing is regulated by patents, and they don't give anything. They don't give any value to having their work peer reviewed. In fact, they don't want to. They don't want to go for that peer review. They want to just exploit
get the
that
thing out and there and make money. Yeah.
So I mean, in from my perspective, when you look at science, science always says it was born as an antidote to its religion and religious dogma, which said that the Earth was formed in 4004 BC, said this, said that. But when you look at the halls of science at the moment, I think there's as much dogma as there is there as in the halls of the Vatican and in the halls of other religious establishments. You have to adhere, you cannot question, and when you do question, you are expelled. Well, what is that different from a religion?
Right. Yeah. Here they are, they talk so much against, like in the Dark Ages, the suppression and burning at the stake of those who questioned the establishment. But, what they're doing is essentially the same thing, precious little difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and they're quick to point out, on global warming, they're quick to point out how everybody who's opposed to global warming is in the employ of the oil industry and various other things. But, what they're not saying is that they're in the employ of the government who will give them money if they say that global warming is real, and that they're also employed by environmental agencies. And I don't know whether you had it over there, but things like the global warming scandal or whatever it was called, which was a Channel 4 documentary here in the UK, that had the founder of Greenpeace speaking out against global warming and saying what a clique scientists had become, which had nothing to do with actually environmentalism, and that the entire focus of global warming was actually detracting from much more serious problems such as pollution and genuine environmental conservationism. And again, that's largely science across the board at the moment. It's something, but it's not what it should be, and it should definitely aspire to be more than what it is at the moment.
Yeah, you mentioned suppression about inventions. Generally, that's not the case, but of course, should you invent something, and that's actually been the case with some individuals in the past, invent something that can save the general public a lot of money on, gas, let's say, that is going to get suppressed.
Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, you're only going to get a lot of money from your invention if it means that the person or the company which is going to use it will get rich from it as well. Otherwise, you are considered to be a danger to the Wall Street profit margins.
But even if you break new ground with something totally different that isn't going to threaten the monopoly of some big corporation, they'll find some way to muscle in on it and crush you out too if you're making enough money. There's almost no room anymore to really get anywhere. There's some that do, but you almost got to bow before Baal, as they say, to even get in, on the action. It's really sad.
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to the paradigm. It's maintaining this paradigm thing. And when you look at corporate culture today, it's setting out at the beginning of a year a certain percentage of growth and trying to make this, make the books conform to this growth, and in the case of Enron, if reality doesn't provide it, then accountants will. And at the end of the year, everybody who's bought shares is happy, and everybody gets their bonuses. That's fine for a corporate environment, but it's also not excelling, and it's also not showing new ways of doing things. It's just opting for the safe course, but not for an innovative course. And when you look at the work of archaeology and various other disciplines, when you see the same kind of medium performance, which is really what this is, becoming the norm there, then you do have to wonder how really significant breakthroughs can be made. And as you've said, that when they are made, then they're quickly shuffled underneath the carpet because nobody seems to be willing to take on what a discovery might imply and might have a full effect.
Right, right. So, have you made any more attempt to try to get a hold of Mr. Burroughs and follow up on anything recently? Has there been any more developments, or has he just kind of dropped the whole thing and moved on? He's not dealing with it anymore? Or?
Yeah, the last thing I did largely on Burroughs was last year. I wrote an article, and it actually got an award. It got the Russell Burroughs Award 2006 or 2007 from some Ethnographic Society for being largely the article which presented both sides of the arguments and was able to bring it out to a larger audience. So that's the last I've done. Some of the people involved, as I said, have contacted me and saying they had some of the artifacts in their possession. Others have said that they are doing stuff. It's slowly tickling along, but as Burroughs himself, I think, something needs to happen.
I'll tell you what, we'll pick up with Theo. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. Is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Got just a few more minutes left here with our guest, Philip Coppens. Once again, the website, if you want to read any of his articles, including the one on the Burroughs Cave, you can go to philipcoppens.com and that's Philip with one L, Coppens with two P's, C-O-P-P-E-N, C-O-P-P-E-N-S, I should say. Go to philipcoppens.com, and you can read his articles. Do you have any plans in the future, Philip, maybe writing a book on, if not the Burroughs Cave, maybe diffusionism in general?
There are lots of books on the subject, so I tend to try to write about stuff which I think is either in need.
But you know, they're mostly out of print, though. There really, at any given time, isn't a whole lot out there that's available that's actually currently. In fact, the last one I know of, major one anyway, was Robert Schoch's. What was it? The Pyramid
Voyages
of the Pyramid. Yeah, the Pyramid Builders, which is really good. Mm-hmm. Anybody wants to read up on that, you can get that book. Actually, he's hard to get a hold of. I'm trying to get him on the show, but hard to nail him down.
That's what you get with Voyages. I'm not planning to do anything on that subject in the near future. But if you feel you want to interview Russell Burroughs, I can definitely offline give you some pointers into seeing whether he would be amenable to that. But I think the Burroughs Cave and the fusionism as a whole needs to either resurrect the Burroughs Cave in a way that is amenable to everybody, or needs to have another Burroughs Cave, which this time is handled properly, before it's going to make a big impact and going to be studied the way it should be. But again,
it's the find of the century. If it's legit, let's open this thing up and let the public see.
Yeah. But it's, how should I put this? If you can only make the public aware that this thing is out there and you cannot force them to eat it. So to a large extent, there needs to be an interest from the public to start to apply some pressure. All of these things cannot always just be a push. There needs to be a pull of something as well.
Right. Yeah, as a whole, people, unfortunately, don't tend to take too much interest in stuff like this. And, I think it's just absolutely fascinating. It's part of our heritage. And, it's if it doesn't get embraced, though, by mainstream academia, like anything else, people just tend to shy away from it. But we've really got to come away from that kind of thinking, just because it's not endorsed by the PhD-endowed experts is not reason to write it off. Very often, it turns out, that's more reason to want to look into it because they reject it.
Exactly. People stay away from it because they know that doing these things is not going to be easy and that there's going to be controversy. Burroughs didn't want to have that controversy, and when he realized there would always be controversy, that's why he largely left the playing field. But for anybody who wants to do, earn his heaven, the Burroughs Cave and the fusionism is definitely something where he will be able to earn his heaven.
Yeah. It looks like he's the wrong person to have stumbled on that, I guess. Anyway, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Great stuff. Keep up the good work. PhilipCoppens.com, folks. You want to check it out? All right, folks, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. I'm going to hopefully finish up on my discussion on our the theft of our rights and liberties. We'll see you then.
With recent